Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, it's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, a 6th of a September. I nearly said October. I'm wishing the entire year away, Luke. Well, Luke Moore's with me on Luke and Pete Show. Hello, Luke.
How you doing? How's it going? I mean, the time does go so fast these days anyway that, I mean, it wouldn't be surprising to wake up tomorrow and it'd be October, baby.
It's been a weird old summer, but as true Englishmen, true British people, we are talking about the weather once again, or at least I am. We're in for a bit of an Indian summer, a bit of a heat wave this week.
I know, it's exciting. I'm obviously recording this from home today because of other commitments, and I've had to shut the window in the room I'm in, and I'm a little bit disappointed about it because it's so lovely. But I've started this new tradition where every morning when I'm working from home, I set the alarm for an hour earlier than I usually used to, and I go out for a brisk walk.
Oh, right, okay. Does that get the blood flowing? I'm just always sleepy around about 11 o'clock, literally when we're recording this.
Do you know what I find? The way it actually works, it's very much like professional athletes do it. What I do is I get out and start walking quite fast before I've properly woken up so my body doesn't know what's happening.
Oh, so
it
me. You're at the bus stop and you're still asleep, effectively.
Yeah, so before the body even really knows what's happening, I'm already halfway out and I'm as far away from the house as I can be at that point, and I have to come back and the body's just got to deal with it.
And then a cooked breakfast.
Yeah, followed by a massive fry. No. I think that's quite a nice little tradition I'd recommend. I'd certainly recommend it for you, Mr. Donaldson, because you live in a lovely part of the world now, so you could probably make the most of it.
I do, yeah. I mean, I am a little bit concerned that this summer's going to end and I live on the coast now and I am going to be in a situation where it's just fucking cold all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I may be at the coast. I may be enjoying watching those ships coming in and going out on my little app, figuring out where they're going and where they're coming back from. But I think it's going to be quite chilly this winter, isn't it? That's what winter's for.
You've literally adopted the coast, whereas obviously I was born in it. So you are very much
born
Batman.
With it too.
I'm Bane.
I was born with it, then I went away, then came back.
Oh, you were, to be fair, yeah. So, okay, yeah. So I was going to say that you are like, I don't know, some kind of new reality TV show star that's doing like a show about the coast. And you're that guy who's gone mental on GB News now, Neil Oliver.
Oh, right. Okay. Which one's that one?
Is the
that
guy the coast?
Neil
looks
Oliver.
Like James Horncastle.
Oh yeah, he does not look like James Horncastle. He's grown a beard, hasn't he? Yeah, he. So yeah. What was his kind
and
of?
And I'm Captain Birdseye.
Because he's a historian, and he yeah. It's always disappointing when men talk like that who are historians who are.
Yeah, but I don't think I mean,
continue the long lineage of things getting done incorrectly.
Yeah, but I know a little bit about this these days, and I don't think Mr. Oliver to have given the greatest of respect, I don't think he is as qualified as you might think he is.
Right, okay.
And I think the reason I know that is because now he's fully adopted the darkness.
Mm,
he's used that as like a real badge of honour.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'm not actually that clever, so I can be on this show.
he attended the University of Glasgow, obtaining an MA Hons in archaeology. He's written all this himself. Let's make that very clear.
Oh, he's got an MA. Fair enough, then. Fair enough.
And,
I didn't know that.
It's only one extra year, though, isn't it? I could go back and do an MA in something. MMA, yeah. Fighting. But he got...
Imagine he then signed up to that by accident. I smell a sitcom there, Donaldson. You turn out with your notebook and your pen, and you get a slap across the chops on your first
day. He then worked as a freelance archaeologist. What exactly is a freelance archaeologist, Luke Moore? Is that
going
just
to a field, little spade on your back?
Want that digging up?
Sank up.
Surely that's just like a labourer. That's a day labourer, that is, isn't it?
I'm a freelance archaeologist. See him the next day. He's got a hole on his back.
I've got my own pneumatic drill. Let me at it.
By the way, I'm just, for those listening who can hear this, I'm writing notes on a piece of paper today. I hope our lovely friends who listen to the show don't mind that. The reason I'm doing it is because I write the synopsis for the show every week, and I always forget what we talked about. And
it's
so,
always the way, though.
Yeah, so
and
I'm going
to
write
what
down
the good,
today.
What good bits are and what bad bits are. I do the one with Abroad in Japan. It doesn't matter whether I write long ones, short ones, or nearly nothing at all. Same amount of people listen. So who's the fool? Me?
Yeah.
It's me. It's me again, guys. Guys,
it's normally, I mean, to be fair, it is normally you.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it's usually me.
So I've got some news, Pete, and you've probably picked up on it, and I think our listeners will enjoy hearing about this. I've started saying sweet beans a lot.
Sweet beans. I think that's one of mine.
It is one of yours. That's why I've started it. It's an homage.
Sweet beans. It's enjoying. Because you kind of change up your vernacular quite often.
Yeah.
When people sort of twig that you're using something above everything else, like off the dome piece, etc.
Yeah.
But you kind of switch over. But you're always quick at switching over, and you've got like a real database of little sayings here and there. And I'm always quite enamoured as an occasional broadcaster myself that you've got so much variety and texture.
I'm a thief.
Your language.
I'm a thief.
And you're a magpie.
It's really kind of you to say that, and I appreciate it. While we're complimenting each other, I think you've got a lovely face.
Lovely face.
I think what I do almost like unconsciously is I hear things that I think are funny or that I like, and I just steal them.
Yeah.
Like, it's proper like theft every single
week. It's proper theft. I don't have a lovely face at the moment because I've actually got a, can you see this? Like a weird lump in my eye here.
It's a sty, is it?
It started off as a sty, and then after some probing, it's been upgraded to just a massive lump in my eye. And you got to be careful with eyes, haven't you? You reach a little spider's nest. And you got to be kind of careful with eye stuff, don't you? You see, I drove past Moorfields Eye Hospital yesterday. I thought, I wonder if they could just get rid of a sty, just give it
pop
a pop
in.
Or something. Just get pop in. And
did
pop
you
it
think
off.
Just by driving past it, you'd be better?
I think so, yeah. Just
you get better.
A lot of people probably believe that sort of caper. If you just get healing stones and all that stuff.
I think if you sat down and thought to yourself, what parts of the physical body do I 100% definitely need?
Yeah.
Eye's going to be probably top.
It's up there,
and
isn't
that's
it?
Why it should concern you.
You shouldn't. What I'm saying is, kids, if you have got some contact lenses you bought about 3 years ago off the internet and you have just left a couple of them in the bottom of your dirty bag, it's got all dusty and disgusting, don't put them in your eyes. I mean, that's my only... Don't put stuff at the bottom of your bag. It's all filthy, covered in grot and sand and nonsense. Don't put them in your eye. Keep them away from your eye.
You bought a pair of contact lenses off the internet, turned out they were coasters, and you can't see anything. That's what's happened to it. I think I kind of thought you were going to say that you mucked around with some makeup for the Wrestle Me Live show and it got in your eye or something.
Well, you'll notice that my little moustache and soul patch combo is a lot thicker and darker than usual. That's because I eschew the common kind of clown makeup that your normal actors would use on stage. I just go straight for the Sharpie, I couldn't get it out of my beard, to be honest. But it was very effective. I did quite resemble Jimmy Mouth of the South.
Yeah, I enjoyed the video. For those who haven't seen that, obviously, and those who don't know, of whom I'm sure there are none, but just in case, Pete does another show with Mark Haynes called Wrestle Me, and they had a live show at the London Podcast Festival, and you come out as Jimmy Mouth of the South Heart. Mm. And who was Mark?
Mark was Big Boss Man.
Oh, that's right. He looked great.
He did look great. He's got that lovely goatee beard. His hair's a little longer than Big Boss Man, but he looked like a really disappointing stripper. He looked like proper Magic Mike parochial church hall kind of performance. It really
Listen,
was
as long as he wasn't serving hard time, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that.
So Pete,
I hear that you had an absolutely lovely time at the London Podcast Festival and you really enjoyed the event as well.
I did. I enjoyed the people.
Yeah.
The smells, the sights and the sounds.
What else were you doing this weekend?
I mean, mainly that, to be honest. I was helping out Clash of the Titans as well, one of our other stack shows that pitched two movies against each other. They were doing the Ninja Turtle movie from the late 80s and Howard the Duck. Remember Howard the Duck, Luke?
I do remember it.
It was like a really adult kind of like swing and a miss in many ways. Of just this kind of like swearing,
George Lucas, right?
Sexually charged duck. Yeah, it was George Lucas. Very strange.
I'm a fan of Clash of the Titles. I love the guys and I love the show. And I whenever I see or hear what film they're doing, I tend to listen more when it's a film or a couple of films that I know.
You know,
well.
Yeah.
And I really used to love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film as a kid. For some reason, I was like obsessed with Casey Jones, the ice hockey mask wearing.
Definitely
kind of
cool. Definitely the coolest part of
the
film.
He was just cool, right?
Didn't he have a cricket bat? He had a cricket bat, didn't he?
He had like a bag with loads of different weapons that are all sports implements.
So and he looked a little bit like Buffalo Bill from...
same actor, no?
Film. No, is it? No,
I don't
surely
know.
Not. Surely not.
I don't know. Buffalo Bill is a classic character. Classic character. A real life character as well, I believe. Anyway... but I couldn't really remember Howard the Duck. And I Googled it and found some really weird behind-the-scenes photos of Howard. Mm. And I think it was one of those things where they tried to make... Look, it's ostensibly looks like a kid's film, but it's actually really raunchy and weird. Yeah. And as far as I remember, it massively flopped. But I haven't listened to that episode. I don't know if they're going to release that episode, a live episode. If they do, I'll listen to it and see what their verdict is.
The funny thing is that, obviously, you know, Howard the Duck is romancing... women, the mum out of Back to the Future, in fact. And
she's had a funny time of it.
She's had a funny time of it. You know what? So I think both films were released in the same year, I think, and one was her trying to sleep with her son, and the other film was trying to sleep with a duck. So, but the weirdest thing is, and the creepiest thing is, when this duck is climbing on her, that's a 13-year-old child in there. That's a 13-year-old child in there.
Back in like the late 80s, wasn't it?
It's not right. It's just not right when you start to think about it. But speaking of movies, Luke, you've been back and forth to the cinema a couple of times, haven't you?
Well, the West Norwood Picture House is open for business again.
Nice.
And, it's a nice cinema.
For ages.
Few question marks around some of the ways that the cinema is run, apparently.
Right.
But I haven't delved into that too deeply, chiefly because... And if anyone listening is also in the same boat as me on this, they'll know what I mean. It's very seductive having a cinema in under 5 minute walk from your house.
It is, and your
amazing.
Ethics do go out the window when you've either got trip to the multiplex or trip to a smaller one where you can have a glass of wine.
Yeah, And that will that's what wins over for me. So there's a great I mean, obviously I don't want to libel a company on this show, so I can't really go into detail. But there is a little seating area there. There's a library. There's a bar. There's a mini restaurant. It's great. It is great. And the best thing is that you know what London's like. It's 45 minutes to go anywhere in London. So to have like a 5 minute walk home is just an amazing thing. So anyway. We've been members at the Picture House since it opened, and obviously it closed for a long time due to COVID. But in the last couple of weeks, I've been there to see the People Just Do Nothing movie, which I enjoyed. Which I need to get your take on because you're a Japanophile.
Japanophile.
So you haven't watched it though.
It looked from the outside, it looked like one of those classic kind of. We've run out of ideas, so let's have. Is it Tom? Remember when Tom Green did the Japanese Subway Monkey Hour? Where you just sort of roll around the floor in the middle of Shibuya Station or whatever.
I do remember that.
It does, and like, you know, Jackass in Japan. It's always like those kind of, you've run out of stuff, let's take them to the weird, perverted world that is Japan. But I've heard that it's actually quite, you know, responsible, quite funny.
So I think the reason, I wouldn't profess to be an expert in Japanese culture, so look, this is just a layman saying this, but the reason I think I am kind of reasonably sensitive to what is acceptable in 2021 and what isn't, and I say reasonably, Pete, because no doubt you'll probably disagree, but the idea being, I think that with that particular movie, that the whole premise of People Just Do Nothing and Corrupt FM is that they're always the butt of the joke, right? So they're completely deluded. So if they have like a big, whether it's through the series or in the movie itself, they have like a set piece gag or something funny happens, invariably they're the butt of the joke. Right, so it doesn't actually really go there to poke fun at Japanese culture. It's kind of, look at these guys who are already completely clueless, be even more clueless because they're so out of their comfort zone, they have no idea what to expect. Like, the only thing I would say is that, and I actually really love People Just Do Nothing, not just because I think it's a great show, but just because I spent 5 years working in Brentford, where they're from, and they're so authentic, and everything is shot in Brentford. They clearly love the area. They also love the music that they kind of lampoon. They're genuinely really good. And there's also, I mean, going back to what we were saying just on off air earlier, Pete, and maybe people will roll their eyes at this, but far too often in media, the people who achieve, the people, whether it's in comedy or drama or whatever, are just posh, wealthy people. And I do think the guys who do People Just Do Nothing are authentic. They're working class lads. They're funny. They came up doing YouTube videos. They were friends at college. They're just normal people. And it's really good to see them do well. And even though I don't know them or anything, I've never met any of them, I just feel quite weirdly, like from a distance, proud of what they've been able to do. And so I'm probably just coloured by the fact that I want to see them do well. So I'm obviously going to have a sympathetic view of the movie. I enjoyed the movie anyway. I thought it was funny. I thought it did suffer a little bit from that kind of, let's just take these people that, how would I put it? So Pete, remember when you interviewed Amanda Iannucci and you were talking about Partridge and talking about one of the great, and I thought it was a really astute question you asked Iannucci, where you said, you asked him if when they do new things, like they make a Partridge movie, are they aware of the fact that he works in well and works best in really small confined spaces, and if you take him out of those confined spaces he kind of seems a bit weird. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
was like, yeah, we thought about that, that's why we made the whole movie Alpha Papa about a siege and all the rest of it. I do feel like this movie suffered a little bit from them being like having the whole world. Do you know what I mean?
Brentford is such
a big part of the show that it's almost like a character in its own right, so that felt a bit odd. But once I got used to that, it was a bit safer than usual, which you'd expect, I suppose, but it was cool.
I think I think that film 20 years ago would just be, we're off to Japan. Yeah, exactly. Shot with them going, oh my God, around, you know, schoolgirl pants on their heads and, you know, walking around Shibuya Station and stuff. Yeah, I think.
Oh, celery flavored Coke.
You've got to be careful. Oh no, there's a crab with eyes that's moving and we're eating it. Like, all that shit. Yeah. You thought but so I think nowadays you have to be a hell of a lot more responsible. But I've never seen any amounts of that TV show, but the clips that I've seen, I've enjoyed. I very much enjoyed it's your buddy G. Is that the guy?
Yeah.
Big guy. Just walk us adverts and BA.
He does the BA in-flight safety video, which is so funny when I first saw that,
And he's like, he was sort of saying that, like, he was criticised in The Guardian or whatever for doing a stereotypical accent. And it's like, that's my fucking dad's accent.
Yeah, he
like,
said that. Yeah, he said,
literally
he
myself.
The entire character's based on my dad and a couple of my uncles. So I imagine he probably knows more about it than the fucking Guardian newspaper.
So fucking silly, isn't it?
I know I don't want to be kind of too class warrior about it because I know it's a bit boring for people, and perhaps people listening to this show from not from the UK probably won't vibe with it. But it is true to say that the media is terrible for that. Media is like the class system in media is so bad, and I don't personally feel like we've ever had a problem with it because you and I have done okay, and we whatever. But
and we
it's
operate
just refreshing.
In dirt places, football, wrestling.
Yeah, it's true. But the thing is, though, Pete, you would have. I mean, look, there's a reason that, for example, I don't know. Look, I'm not going to get into it because it's boring. But anyway, look, the point is that I actually saw a couple of them. So Alan Mustafa and Steve Stamp, who play Grinder and Steve's in the show, we were at the British Podcast Awards and they were there and they won a load of things. Mm. And the fact that they were there and they stayed there the whole time and they were really cool and they really seemed really happy to be there. They just seemed like enjoying the ride, having a great time, doing what they do best and doing it really well. And they deserve to be rewarded for it. And I'm really, really pleased for how well they've done because you just don't see it happen that often. And that's sad. You know, it's a sad thing. So the fact that they're an exception that proves the rule is a bit of a shame, but good on them, I say. I say more power to their elbow. And they're working on another show at the moment, I think, set in the 80s. I think it might be a comedy drama type thing with Tom Davis, the big guy who does all that comedy stuff.
Yes, okay, yeah, right.
So
okay, cool.
Who knows what they'll be doing next. But I saw that. And anyway, listen, I also saw, very quickly, I also saw that Shang-Chi film.
Right, yes, okay.
The Marvel movie, because obviously the wife I have access to is obsessed with Marvel. And that was good as well. I enjoyed that. I mean, I don't know if that was pretty... I mean, presumably, it's got a lot of plaudits for being so. I don't know how faithful that was to Chinese culture and Chinese lore and stuff, but... it seemed to be, and it was. I mean, the best I can say is that almost all the main characters in it were actually Chinese, which is a cool thing. So it was. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was a really good kind of. You know what you're going to get with a Marvel movie. It's not like it, an amazing plot twist that made me reassess my life, but it was lots of fun.
Well, we've spoken about this before, but a lot of big budget, big studio movies these days get an extra act jammed in for the Chinese market, the emerging Chinese market. It's not even emerging; it's just the biggest. It's the biggest territory.
I found that so odd when you told me that.
So I wonder if what they're going to do with this one is more like just make it longer.
Yeah. Well, do you reckon they would have to?
No, they'd probably have to be careful about how they represented Chinese history, I suppose, which most films are these days. You know, the Top Gun removing the Taiwan badge and all that stuff. The main guy, I think, out of Shang-Chi, I'm unfamiliar with the character. I don't know much about Marvel at all, and I've barely watched any of their films even. But the main guy apparently used to be one of those... one of those like Getty Image kind of stock photo models.
Oh, did he?
So there's funny. Like loads of shots this morning. Someone sort of discovered this, and that he's like just doing all these like poses and stuff in the boardroom as like a director of a company.
It's funny. I bet he's fuming about that. It's funny because I know he's done some. So you talk about Simu Liu, I think his name is.
Right. Okay.
And he's done a fair amount of TV, but it's kind of mad that. Apart from the fact that he was an extra back in 2013 in Pacific Rim, I think Shang-Chi is only his second ever film.
I like that a lot. Got a lot of time for that.
And imagine how we were talking. I was talking to someone. There's a show Stacker making in production at the moment. It's a fictional film, a fictional show, and as a result, obviously, it's got quite a few actors in it. And I was talking to one of the actors, and he's been in quite a few things. You'd probably recognize. I don't want to name him because it wouldn't be fair, but you'd probably recognize him a couple of bits. And he was saying, like, acting now, it can be, depending on what project you're on, can be completely different because a lot of the time I just don't go places. They don't need to.
So hang on, so as in like when you're acting, what you're just
he was using
screen,
an example that
stone soundstage.
He was using an example that like there's a lot of green screen work, a lot of ADR stuff. I think it's cool where you do the additional dialogue recording afterwards. So it's a completely different thing. So, for example, I don't know, he didn't use his example, but a great example would be, I suppose, like famously back when Gone with the Wind was made, which is obviously a hugely problematic film for lots of different reasons. But when talking about the particular production itself, when they did that famous scene where the whole village burns, They spent weeks setting up the village and then they actually burnt it.
And actually burnt it.
Yeah. So like obviously I don't do that now. So I think it obviously, maybe it started with Lord of the Rings, where people, I think, get confused about what parts of it are actually being filmed in New Zealand and what parts of it are being filmed green screen, because it's obviously blurred. And it, you know, it's obviously credit to how good the films are that it's kind of blurred and you can't really tell when one stops and the other starts. Mm. I don't know if the future is going to be, they're going to do an awful lot more of that. So it's, I guess what I'm saying is that makes the challenge of acting quite different, right?
Oh, these kind of like libraries of footage and backgrounds, and you can have this situation where like they don't even use green screen anymore. There's this big kind of like spherical screen effectively that completely envelops, completely wraps around the actors as they're acting. And then the camera is, you know, gyroscopically balanced and kind of the computer knows exactly where it is, what it's pointing at, where it's going, what it's focusing on. And so therefore, it will project very much like if you sort of take the camera as like a VR headset, it will project where the camera is looking, like on the actual sphere itself. So the actors can be in the scene and it looks completely the same as what you would get on a green screen, what you would get in a composite thing, but the actors can kind of see where they are and they get a better performance out of them. So that's going to be interesting to see how far that technology can go. These massive high definition spherical screens that can adjust to where you're filming and stuff like that. It's fascinating.
I didn't understand much of that. But
just basically making a big digital set that you don't have to like build and burn down.
Does that mean like even you and I could just make a movie?
We could make a movie now. It would just be very good, Luke. I was watching, for some reason, watching the TV show Schitt's Creek, very good, very relaxed kind of watch, and, you know, important in certain ways. And I was watching the, you know, even the smallest kind of like lowliest production uses, you know, digital Hollywood techniques. Like, so they're outside. It's a Christmas show that would probably be filmed in like August. So everyone's got their big coats on and they've covered the set in snow. And then they have that digital warm vapor breath coming out of the actors and stuff, and it never looks good. It's so difficult to get right, that sort of thing. And so much of films obviously aren't filmed at that time of year, so they can't make the set cold. They can't do like what they did in like horror movies in the 70s, just make one room really
cold. The Exorcist did that, didn't they? They refrigerated an entire room.
So now they just got loads of alpha channeled breath animations, and they just put them on the actors and they move them as the actors move, and as they do the P's and the T's and the D's, they make them kind of like come out at a higher velocity, and it's all digital, and it's all you can always tell when it's done badly. It rarely looks good, that sort of thing. So there's still some way to go, I think, and it's always around the fringes rather than the main thing itself. There's always those little kind of touches that kind of take you out of stuff a little bit.
Oh, there's a whole blogging community, like internet community around people looking for errors and that kind of stuff anyway. But it's with Shang-Chi, I wonder, because, you know, if you watch Jurassic Park now, it still looks pretty good. And I think that's because they did a variation of like puppetry and CGI and all the rest of it. But there's a lot of movies that have had big budgets since Jurassic Park do look quite shit now. But I think it's quite, I mean, this might be naive of me to say, but it's quite difficult to imagine something like Shang-Chi looking bad in like 10 years' time. I mean, it's incredible how good it looks. I have no idea how they filmed, you know, hardly any of it, really. It's crazy.
Getting on set. I don't know how we're going to do this.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, though. It's like an amazing, I understand it like at a very basic level. Someone who's never made a podcast before will go into our studio and be like, well, how does this fucking work? Obviously, that's human nature. But like to get it to look so good. And listen, you know, if it's a Marvel movie, you always watch to the end of the credits because there's always a little scene at the end, which I personally find a little bit obnoxious, but there we go. At least what it does do is it gives you an appreciation for exactly the amount of people working on those movies. It's ridiculous. It's thousands of people, literally. So there you go.
I don't know. We'll jump to a break very, 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 very briefly, very, very shortly. But it just always makes me giggle. Like, why have they never done like a... Because cinema's all about rags to riches, kind of the underdog stories, and with a dose of reality. Why has nobody ever just handed over a script and $50 million to someone who's never directed, doesn't really watch a lot of films, And I'd like to put my hat in the ring for that. Just create the world's worst film just because a man just has no idea about the limitations or the creativity one could have behind
Didn't that guy make a career doing that? Didn't he make that movie The Room and it's become like a cult classic?
Yeah, but he clearly had some chops, you know what I mean? He clearly knew kind of what he was doing and he still made a terrible film. So look, maybe they should just be they should hand over 20 million, 30 million to an idiot.
I'm happy to not even make the film, to be honest.
I just have the 20 million.
Yeah, all right, let's move a break because we're way over time. We'll come back and we'll squeeze an email in because there's Pete, it's late 20 minutes here now. It's 25, 26 minutes.
I enjoy it.
All right, cool. See you in a minute.
It's transfer deadline day. Ashwood City are drifting under manager Sven-Göran Eriksson and chief executive Patrick Nolan is willing to do whatever it takes to turn things round.
Oh, look, it's just for a season or two, you know. We get them really cheap, you know, 10% of what they're worth in some cases. And, I mean, the sponsors it would attract as well as the cachet.
Patrick Nolan, MBE, stop talking. This is a fucking Tevez and Mascherano player heist.
In the award-winning football mockumentary The Offensive, the thick of it meets the Premier League and things are about to reach breaking point in the boardroom.
That's the rules, Woody.
Oh, so now we like the rules, do we?
Woody, you can't just move a piece and make up how to play.
Oh, you don't get to tell me what I can and can't do.
No, move that back.
Fucking get off. Don't touch my pieces. You're cheating.
What, you're cheating.
Cheating. That's an invasion of my pieces,
that. You're cheating.
Stop fingering my bishop. You don't know where he's been.
It's not... Oh...
Start your Ashwood City journey and listen to The Offensive wherever you get your podcasts.
The Offensive is a Stack production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's the Luke and Pete Show, and we're back for literally one email and 3 minutes of content. we've jumped the shark, Luke. This is the longest we've ever gone on, droned on about nothing before we get to your emails. But don't worry, Thursday's show is full of grace. Well, Thursday's show is full of emails.
You don't know that. We haven't made it yet.
No, we haven't made it yet.
Okay, I'll give you a choice. Do you want an email about a listener's parent porn collection?
Yes, please, that one. Yep,
okay,
that one. Yeah,
I thought you might.
No need to prevaricate or chat about that. Let's just get involved.
Okay, so I'll read it because the person wants to be kept anonymous.
Okay.
And he I can say it's a he. He says, yeah. Please don't mention my surname due to the obviously mortifying nature of this email. I'm going to go one better than that. I'm not even going to mention your first name. You are safe with us, chiefly because I'm reading the email out and not Peter. He says, on a recent episode, you mentioned how have you ever happened... mentioned that if you ever happened to stumble upon a stash of pornography in the house, mm-hmm. you would always assume that it belonged to your dad. One year, when I was around 15 or 16, I was snooping around the house when it was empty. It was coming up to a birthday or Christmas. I can't remember which, but I was looking for presents. In the back of the wardrobe, I found an old shoebox that seemed a little bit too heavy. Upon removing the lid, I found a stash of around 60 to 70 burnt DVDs with titles handwritten on the front in pen, the highlights of which include, and I quote, two dicks, one chick, and backdoor slut 9, which wow. is forever burnt into my retina.
Just the next one.
As you said, you would always assume this was your dad's stash. However, I come from a single parent, only child household. It's just me and my mum.
Nice.
The only conclusion I could unfortunately draw was that it was my mum's collection. I'm not even going to read what he said about his own mother there, because I think that's disrespectful.
He said absolute fiend. He described her as an absolute fiend. Look, great collection, 60 to 70 burnt DVDs. That is, by anyone's...
Serious collector.
That's a full weekend, isn't it? That is a full weekend.
It's a serious collector on his hands there.
And you do love to see it. I mean, I'd love to see... a shoebox full of DVDs, but I also love to see, you know, the liberation of mum, so to speak.
It's an often under-mentioned idea that mm-hmm. we said it, didn't we? We predicted it when we said it a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
always going to assume. You talked about your dad with his special cupboard with the key, mm-hmm. and I said people are always going to assume it's their dad's collection, but it might not always be the case. And what's happened? Lo and behold, someone's emailed in confirming that suspicion.
What I like about it, when you were off a few weeks ago, Luke, I sent a microphone and headphone and webcam set to my dad to record a Luke and Pete show, because I thought he'd be a fun guest. And he just mugged me off. He said yes to it. And then at the last minute, well, not even the last minute, he just sort of said, no, I don't feel comfortable doing this. And instead, what's happened is I've exposed him as a porno fan and talked about his pornography collection on this podcast. So look, he's already got himself to blame in many ways.
I'm not surprised he doesn't want to front up. He's probably listened to an episode in preparation and gone, well, fuck that. I hate doing that.
That would teach him.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we expose the lies of modern life for what they are, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And
indeed,
the fact that we in the 90s, it was just dads watching porn is clearly incorrect.
Yeah,
you know, and the world's a better place for it. Equal opportunities, I say.
Thanks for your message, Steve, or Paul, or whoever it was.
I actually can't remember his name, because I deleted it out because we shared the document and I knew that you were given half a chance to actually say it. So
yeah, you wrote, to be kept anonymous, Peter, and wrote a non at the end. So well done you, Luke. Well done.
I don't believe in making extra work for myself by having to go back and bleep out names that I've already said. So that's why. That's I think that, to be fair, that is a fitting email to squeeze in.
It's the backdoor sluts 9 of podcast emails. It really is.
I'm surprised your dad doesn't want to be on this show. Really surprised.
He's the original backdoor slut. That's what I've heard.
Do you think your dad does your dad support your career choice, or does he not really care? Does he not really get it?
I've said it before. He used to, when I was on national radio, he would send me documentaries on Radio 4 that was on at the exact same time as my radio show. So he has no interest or, you know, love for what I do. It's fine.
It became clear. And my dad is very proud of it. I'm very, very fortunate, because my parents would have been proud of whatever I wanted to do. You know, and they didn't push me to do anything I didn't want to do. And they were kind of cool always.
That's why your 20s were like they were.
Exactly. That's why I had an absolute nightmare. Yeah. And I still am. It's not that I don't care, but my dad, I went down for Father's Day, made a barbecue or something. And it became quite clear quite quickly that he thought I still just talk about football every day.
Right, okay, yeah. That's definitely the situation. My dad probably thinks I'm still on the radio, to be quite frank.
Right. I think my parents were really happy when I was at that show on TalkSport for a bit, and they used to listen. I think they listened to about 2 or 3 weeks.
That's the thing, though, the legitimacy of conventional broadcasting, I think it really hits home with parents. They podcast can't really get their head around, to be honest.
No. And my mum did say to me that the show that I did on TalkSport wasn't the same when Danny Kelly left, which I completely agree with. and that was one of the biggest bugbears I had as well.
Yeah.
But it was disappointing to hear that from my mum. So,
because it was your show after that, wasn't it, really?
Well, kind of.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, you know that scene in The Thick of It where he's talking about Johnny Vaughan and Denise Van Houten hosting the Big Breakfast?
Right.
And everyone really loved it. And then he says, he uses it as an insult. He says, right, and now this is like season 19 and the tea lady's presenting it and no one knows who they are and everyone's turned off. Basically, that was what I wanted to talk about. Anyway, let's get out of here. We're back on Thursday, won't we, Peter?
We will. Enjoy us. Endure us. On the Twitter, we are at Luke and Pete Show. You can also get us on Instagram as well, Luke and Pete Show. But do drop us an email, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. If you found anything savoury or unsavoury in Mama's cupboard, let us know. And we'll be back on Thursday. See you later. Ta-ta!
Bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.